Last week we talked about you know, being focused and having that focus and purpose and where we're looking and where we're going, and that'll bring so much simplicity to our lives. But you know, I really don't need to tell you guys things that you can do to be more simplistic. I think you're pretty smart, and I think there's a lot of things out there. And I think as we examine our lives, we can look at things that, you know what, this thing's taking a little more of my time than it probably should. Or, you know what, maybe I don't need to be focusing on so many things at one time. And that's fine. And which leads me this morning to where we are as a church. And I'm going to spend the next couple of weeks, and I would appreciate it if you guys can do your very, very best to be here. Because what I want to talk about is, I want to talk about how did Community Christian Fellowship come to be? Why are we here? What is our message? You know, I've had a lot of new families lately, and in having them, you know, they might know, what's this church believe? I mean, who are they really? I know a lot of you are figuring that out, but I want you to know the basis of what got us here. First of all, we know first and foremost that it was God's calling and God ordaining this church to be, and that's why it's here. That's first. But I want to talk a little bit about the attitude that started this church. And why? And I have to go back to myself being in school, and of course going to school as an adult many years ago now. My word, it has been many years. But going to school as an adult, and I really felt that when I was done with school, the Lord would probably call me to a church that was established. I remember one lady came up to me one time and she says, Pastor, or she said, Steve, I wasn't pastor yet. She says, Steve, did you ever think about planting a church? I'm like, no way. You know, that's just not in my mindset. You know, me thinking at the time I was old. Hey, has anyone here ever been 30 years old and thought they were old? Can I tell you something? You're very young. I got another question. Has anyone here ever been 40 years old and thought they were old? I want to tell you something. You're very young, and I can keep going. But the thing is, of course, so I'm thinking, you know, when I get out of school, I want to just jump right into an active ministry. Well, you know, the Lord had many times has way different plans than we do. And one thing the Lord worked with really well is that most of you know my wife, Shirley. And Shirley is not a person that does well in just being dropped into the middle of a crowd. Some of you are like that. I know there's several of you that are like that. You just don't do well. You just kind of you feel pressure that way. Oh, if we would have taken Shirley and I would have been dropped into the middle of a huge church, I think it kind of might have been like dropping a cup of water into a deep fryer. And, you know, it would just freak her out. But God had other plans. And what better plans than starting very small and growing and get to know people as you grow? But see, I wasn't seeing that at that time. But that's not the main reason. I'm just talking about how God works. And he works in all aspects of what we do and not just single thing aspects. But I was in school, and we had a book that we read and went through. And we met the author. He came to visit with us. And this guy's name was Steve Sogren. And he was originally part of the founding Vineyard Church in California, which really went kind of crazy. But he ended up moving to Cincinnati and starting a church there. And he wrote this book called Irresistible Evangelism. Now, to show you how God works, the first thing that had to happen with me was, one, I had to be at a surrendered point, and the other thing I had to do was to understand those disciplines, and that discipline is simplicity, because I had to get in the mindset, and the Lord knew this, to where I could read kind of what he had written and understand as he applied it to Scripture and where it goes. And in Irresistible Evangelism, what that book was mostly about is, hey, look, we're called to do things. We're called to be out there, but are we serving at the same time? Are we serving the Lord, or are we just going out there and telling everybody about Jesus but not showing any love? And that was what it was about. His church in Cincinnati did some very interesting things over the years. I'll tell you about another one maybe next week. I don't have time to get into that. But the one I will tell you about that was kind of comical when you read it on, heard it on the news, which made national news. One of the ladies in the church had been going around all around Cincinnati feeding parking meters. And she got arrested because she was interfering with the ability for the city to collect revenue. And they found a charge they could charge her with, and they arrested her. And she said, well, wait a minute. She said, I'm just trying to help people not get tickets. What's wrong with that? You're getting your money. And she every day she'd go out with a bag full of change, and she's walking around town feeding parking meters. And but that is a point. The point was the reason she was doing that is she wanted to show people that she cared about them. What a simple way to show people you cared about them. Another huge thing that they actually started years ago, and you guys have seen it happen a lot probably, where you'll go up and you'll go to pay for something in a drive-thru window, and they'll say the person in front of you paid for that. That actually came out of that group 30 years ago. But a lot of different things. I say, well, what's this got to do with the Word of God? Right? It goes back to this. They don't care what you know till they know that you care. You see where I'm at with that? So with all this stuff going on in my mind and learning and drawing closer to the Lord, and Lord, where are you going to move me? What are you going to do? How's this going to affect my family? All these kind of things. I had developed this unbelievable love for outreach and reaching people in all kinds of different ways. And I was just on fire. And I was in a place that it kept throwing water on that fire. I was in a church that I hoped that I could maybe rise up in that ministry as the Lord used me and help it grow and do wonderful things, but they weren't having any part of that. They wanted to stay within four walls. And so I'm chomping at the bit, right? And the Lord moved things and made things happen to where I needed to go. And I said, I am never going to start a church. And someone approached me and said, hey, Steve, how about starting a church in Prospect? Huh? Are you kidding me? They've already got three or four, and they seem like they're well attended. Back then, they were very full. And now I don't think so. But then the Lord just started poking at me. And it started with five people around a table. And I'll stop and take a break there. I want to get into Scripture. I'm in Romans chapter 8. Very good passage. I know that most of you know it, or at least parts of it once you hear it. If you're anything like me, I remember more about what things say than exactly where they are. That's just my makeup. But it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Folks, we're different. We are different. If we're in Jesus Christ, you are different. You operate, your base is two different places. You, if you are in Jesus Christ, your base is in the Lord, and if you're not, your base is in the world. But we are in Christ, and there's no condemnation. He's not going to condemn us anymore. We don't have to worry about those things. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And you do remember that one of the main things of the Spirit is that we learn and know and walk in that love through Jesus Christ. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So without the Lord, to be carnally minded, it's death. In all aspects, it leads to death. It leads to death for your purpose here on earth. It leads death to having the family that God would have planned for you, and it eventually leads to death in eternity. But the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Think about that. There's no way you can please God if you're living in the flesh, if you're carnally minded, if you've not given your life to Christ. There goes that thing, you can just pitch it out the window. Well, they were a good person. Because without Christ, they truly cannot be. Matter of fact, they could be a hindrance to the gospel, and I'll tell you why. Because people will look at someone like that and say, well, they're a great person. Why do they need God? I can be a great person. Why do I need God? Huh? You know, a person will come to Christ quicker by watching somebody that fell flat on their face and God lifted them up than somebody that just seemed to be a great person all along and never really saw a difference. Realize that? We need that contrast. Not that sin is good, but we need that contrast. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. Of course, we know that our body dies. You know that. That's why we have the need for the resurrected new body when the Lord resurrects all of us and when he comes. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That life will come back one day to a beautiful, beautiful body. But here's the thing. I want to go right back to the very first verse in chapter 8. Now there is no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. Look, folks. We have so much to be happy for and excited for. Why are we not? And I will include me in this. Why is it that when we have conversation, many times the conversation will fall to the negative side of the things rather than the exciting side of the things? We need to be excited in life. I need to be excited for what God's doing in every one of your lives. I need to be. And you need to be excited for what God would be doing in my life, in your life. I look at all of you. You know what? You guys got to understand one thing about this pastor. And this might scare you. Is that I'm a very inquisitive person. And I'm a people watcher. I could sit on a pier somewhere in a vacation area and just watch people all day. You know, really, I was telling Richard yesterday, or I was telling him during the funeral, Richard's mom was a character, quite the character. And when I was leaving, Frank and I were leaving last week after visiting her in her when she was close to passing, I noticed an old baseball bat in the corner of the door as you walked out. And I looked at that baseball bat, and I noted, right then I knew a whole lot about Richard's mom. You know what I mean? This is a lady kept a baseball bat by her door. This tells me some things, right? Huh? So here's my point. In seeing you and knowing who you are and watching your families and seeing what you do, I know a lot about you. I really do. And things that you tell me mostly. But guess what? That brings me great joy because I'm not seeing any of the negatives. I'm seeing the neat things about you. And God allows me to do that because we all need to have joy. Understand something. Everyone in this room, I think, probably today, I'm looking around to see if there's anybody. I think that most of you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. What does that tell me? That tells me in your life there's no condemnation. Over. You are his. No one can pluck him. You. Out of his hand. So let's get excited about that. Let's live excited about that. Let's live excited about what God has put in all of our lives that are those great qualities that he meant for you not only to have, to share with him, to share with your family, and share with the congregation, but to share with the world and those around you. He has made you to be a witness to the world. Oh, Pastor, I can't talk. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about irresistible evangelism. Loving people and reaching people in a way that is so necessary. So now, before the next passage, and I promise you, I will not go as long as last week. Things got away from me a little bit last week. And they can happen. Ted will laugh. I'll be like the old guy in the church where I was filling pulpit one time, and he told me before service, he says, Pastor, do you have a watch on? I said, no. He goes, when it's time for you to be done, I'll just give you one of these. He said, the restaurants fill up around here at noon. 12:10, I was still going. They never called me back. Anyway. Here we are. The Lord's called to start this little church. And one thing I never did was proselytize people to come. Do you know what that is? That's when you want to build your group so you start going to people that maybe even settled somewhere else and doing well. And you say, man, come on over to our church. We're doing this great thing. Or come on over to this. You know, and we're doing it for the purpose of building, not for the purpose of, Lord, bring us the lost. Or, Lord, bring those that would want to be part of this work. Let the Lord bring them. Right? So, there's one fellow sitting in this room that offered to come, and I told him no, because their whole family wasn't on board. But they're here today. Years later, came. Let me tell you, the Lord took a group of people that had that mind for outreach, incredible mind to love other people, and he brought them together in a little group. Now, not everybody was so much like that, but most were. And it began to grow, and we began to do. And this was a group that, with no money, was reaching out in the community. Our first year, we were so tiny. We met in the Farmers Exchange. First, we were around a kitchen table on Elm Street. Then we were in the Farmers Exchange conference room. The kids watched Veggie Tales on one of those little TVs that you plug a DVD into in the bathroom while we had church. But that first year, we gave coats and clothes out to people for winter. And the reason we did that was we wanted to show the community. And it wasn't, how do I say this? When you're evangelizing and reaching people, I can talk about what we did, but understand something. It wasn't motive-driven to build us or to make us look good. It was actually because the people involved really did care about those people and saw the little kids at the bus stop that barely had a coat to keep warm. And as that continued, they just kept doing outreach things all the time and having ideas, and the Lord was blessing it. And we hit walls. We hit huge walls. First of all, I can tell you, there was no money because we came together with a bunch of poor people. So there was no money. These were people barely making their bills, and it was just a handful. So there was no money. There were people that offered us money if we'd get on board with this. We didn't want to get on board with anything. We wanted to serve the Lord and be free, not to be pressured to do what someone told us they do. Because I'm looking at them, and they're not doing the outreach themselves. Why do we want to fall under what they tell us to do, right? So anyway, I'm not going to get into the whole process of how we ended up where we are. But all along the way, the Lord moved. Doors closed and doors open, door closed and doors open. And the outreach of all kinds just kept building. And he even directed the outreach because we'd be in doing something. And when it needed to be different or morph some way, God would find a way to change that. I'll share one quick story that I think was a huge part of the growth in this church and the direction it went. I had been making the mistake, at least in our church, and it may not be a mistake somewhere else, but it was here. I had made the mistake of impatience. And I really felt I wanted people to come here that knew the Lord and trusted the Lord and could help build the church, people with good, solid spiritual backgrounds. But I was also praying, Lord, could you bring us a few people of means? In other words, we were drowning. I remember at the time Heather was our secretary, and it was kind of one of those things, Pastor, what bills do I pay this month and which ones do I put off? It was that way all the time. Every month we were short. It was just, that's hard to live with. You guys have been there. So I'm praying this prayer. Oh, in the meantime, a couple of churches, one of which, what a blessing, is I've been called to do an evangelistic message in September for them. And they were one of the churches that was helping us. And with a couple hundred dollars a month, I think there were two churches giving us a couple hundred bucks a month, which was huge back then. And we had started doing the backpack ministry. The elementary was in Prospect at the time. And we were doing the backpack ministry, and we were doing it every other Friday, where we do the backpack here. We take pack lunches to the school to the kids that need it for the weekend. And I had gone to the post office, and I had gotten the mail. And would you believe that in one day's time, for different reasons, both churches said they were going to have to stop the giving? And I'm like, oh no. And at the same time, Kelly had run into the principal at the elementary school, Mr. Saul. And he said, hey, love the backpacks. You wouldn't believe how they bless these kids. But I got to tell you something. On the off weeks, these kids come in Monday morning and they're starved. Could you do it every week? Now here, she comes to me, I just got this news that we were dropping $400. We didn't have any money anyway. What are we going to do? I thought a minute. The Lord laid something on my heart. At the time we were so small, I didn't have to ask anybody else. I think that most of the time we go along with things that are good here anyway. But I said, you know what? They need it. Let's do it. Well, there was no money. I said, I don't care. If the Lord led him to come to you to ask for that blessing to expand, he's going to take care of it, and that's why it happened. And then the Lord laid something on my heart, which I shared that Sunday. I said, never again will I pray for the Lord to bring people to this church that have means. What? Shouldn't I have increased that? No. I said, what we're going to do is, Lord, you bring anyone in that door that needs Jesus Christ, and I don't care if they're dirt poor. I don't care who they are. From this day forward, we will never worry about money in this church again. If the Lord provides, he provides. If he doesn't, we can't do it. Or we find a way to do it without the money, which we seem to do a lot of that too. Let me tell you something. The month prior to that was the last month we didn't make bills at the end of the month. From that day forward, the Lord started providing every need this church had. And he brought anyone and everyone through that door. So you can find yourself in a church where the pastor doesn't hound you for money. Huh? The Lord provides it. Now, you're part of how he provides it, but he provides it through his relationship with you that lays it on your heart to provide it. You understand what I mean? I'll never beat anyone over the head about money. Does no good. Not that we don't have responsibilities. Not that, I'll tell you something too, the Lord really blesses those. I mean, that's just one of God's rules. When you do what God calls, he's going to bless you with more than you can ever. Now, I mean, it's amazing how God replaces what we have the faith to step out on in our own personal lives, in our home, and everywhere else. You know, I'll go back to that example of we stepped out on faith and said we were going to put a roof on this building. We wanted to start a big building campaign that never really got off the ground. You can blame me, but it never really got off the ground. But guess what? When it was time to put on the roof, the money was there. Wasn't it, Amy? And guess what? In 6 months' time, that amount was back without beating anyone over the head. or making deals or borrowing. Praise God for that. We've got about 2,000, 2,000, 3,000. How much money are we still in this building? So in February, the building will be paid off. And you know, we will owe nothing anywhere. The mission house is paid for. The church is paid for. Church is only 16 years old, and we've only been here for 10. Why do I say that? Say how great we are? No! The point is, when you reach out and you love people and put other people first, like God called us to do, like Jesus did, Jesus was always putting himself out there, even at the risk of being called names. I'll never forget today. We used to have a bar down here called the Back 40 on the left. And we were getting ready for the day in the park. And I'm going around and I'm giving people flyers. And I walked into the bar. And I'm going around talking to people. Hey, how's it going, man? We're having this day in the park. Bring your kids and come on down. And I walk out the doors. And one of the, dare I say, church ladies from one of the other churches was stopped at the stoplight right there. And I walk out, and I walk out of the bar, and she went, and I said, good morning. Would you like to come to the day in the park? See, that's been the spirit of Community Christian Fellowship. And oh, do I desire for that to stay. Let me tell you something. As long as we love people like Jesus loves us, this church will have a solid foundation. Last week, I talked a lot about a lot of the ministries that we did here. And that's irrelevant to today's message. I couldn't remember all of them if I had to. Do you want to know why? Because there are those ministries that are set in place that we do. But there's those ministries that God is giving every one of you to do every day that is also a part of this church. See, I couldn't remember them all. I may not even know them all. But see, God brought a group of people together that want to love other people and do. And I was a little afraid last week, and it's one of the reasons I decided to start this series. We had a lot of visitors last week. I see some of them aren't back. No, a couple of them aren't back. But anyway, people can get scared sometimes. When you start talking about all the stuff a church does, they look around and they think, oh man, are they going to expect me to do all that? I have to tell you, if you come here today, there are no expectations. There is only a calling on your life, and that's between you and God. I will never pressure you to do something that God may not be calling you to do, and I don't know if he is or not, so I guess that means I'm never going to pressure you to do anything. But if God lays it on your heart, just like me that said I would never start a church, there's no way, I just couldn't fathom the gravity of that. When God started saying, I had to listen. So I will say, when God lays something on your heart to do, listen. Listen. And let him work in your life. See, that's how we come together as a body of believers and are the hands and the feet of the church. And so many of you do things that, I could just go on and on. You know, here's the thing. I could mention what Frank does with the elderly and go into deep detail on that. But then I got to go to what Donna does, what Holly does, and what Tim does, and Susie, and on, because all of you, in some way, I loved seeing a group of people out here that were on Friday morning. That was great. Good representation of loving people together. And I just mean because you were there because you wanted to be, not because, and some people, bless their hearts, they couldn't be there. They were at work. So what? Does that make them different than them? No, because they're serving over here somewhere that they're not doing, and that's how the church works. Please don't ever feel guilty if there's something you can't do. Please. Let God lay on your heart who you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do. And this church will be continually flourish. But I can tell you, if you guys like to do things and do outreach and love people and have fun, there are plenty of stuff we do. You know, we're getting ready for our day in the park on the 2nd of October. That's huge. Hey, we got bluegrass coming. If you like bluegrass, if you don't, too bad. Everyone likes bluegrass. But Ted's going to drive well, I don't know if I'm going to let him drive the tractor or not now, after his actions. But Ted drives the tractor and pulls a hayride, and we have games and face painting and teaching and love and sharing the love of Christ. with everyone that comes in. It's free food. That's great stuff. But there's something else I got to sneak in there. And I don't know when I'm going to do it, folks. I really, really, really want to have a revival service and bring someone in to speak. I really want to do that. So if you would pray for me in that, I don't know who's going to do it or how it's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to find the time to do it. But if it's to be, God will make it happen. Because as I look out at you, and I do know all of you. Now, I told you that. I'm nosy. I know all of you. And because I know all of you, I know that you're very, very busy people. And I don't ever want any of you to think, oh, no, one more thing. So that's why I'm saying leave it to the Lord. And let if the Lord's going to lead for this to happen, it's going to open the door. He's going to clean some plates up. And it's going to happen. You see what I mean? But, oh, do I want to have a revival service? It's needed. I don't know why we quit doing them years ago. And, by the way, I don't want to put any pressure on the Van Gundys, but, you know, we're going to have to roast a pig when we do this thing. So, you know, Kelly's going, oh, no, come on, Dad. This is the fall. Dad, this is football season. We cannot do another thing. So maybe they're not going to roast the pig, right? Like I said, we pray for the Lord's leading and what he does. Next passage I'm in is Romans chapter 15. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not please ourselves. I'm not going to go any further in that passage because I'm just going to talk about it for a second and then I'm going to leave it alone. Just that verse. I was going to read the whole passage, but I'm going to stop at that verse. Let me tell you why. Because when we take care of the weak around us, and not pleasure ourselves first, it brings us great pleasure. And God will even give us the time to pleasure ourselves. How do I know that? Well, one, God's word says it, so I believe it. The second thing is, I've seen it because it's worked in my life, and I've seen it work in many of your lives. There's no greater joy to me than realizing that you just touched someone's life and God used you. That is one of the most wonderful feelings in the world. You guys have been there, you know that. Huh? When you brought comfort and peace to someone through the Lord and God led you to them or put you them in your path. Or someone that just sitting there thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, we can't pay the rent this month and the school fees came in. And what am I going to do? And then all of a sudden, somebody just pops into their life and says, hey, I want to help you get on your feet, but I want to tell you about Jesus. People ask me many times, why do you guys do this? I say, we do it because God loves us. What? What's that got to do with me? Well, if God loves me, wouldn't he desire that I love you too? Because he loves you. And if I have in my life, I need to love others and those around us. Beauty comes from here. You can be one of the most physically beautiful people in the world and have nothing but snake's breath. You ever seen it and heard it? Huh? You can be somebody that nobody really wants to put on a magazine cover. Maybe not even Mad Magazine. But beauty comes out of their lips. And all you see is love and peace when you see them and talk to them. Praise God for that. Praise God for those that pray for others. You know, there's those of us sometimes that go to nursing homes or go to hospitals or visit people or drop cards or do whatever. And then there's those that sit there and pour their heart out before the Lord to God about that person. And that person never knows it. I've had people come to me in some of my most difficult, trying times of my life and say, Pastor, I've been praying for you. And to me, that's great. Because I know when I don't even know it, somebody's out there praying for me. That does far greater than many other things. Ah, we come together as a loving community. And finally, I'm going to finish in 1 Corinthians verse 19, and I'll read through 23. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. This is Paul speaking. So he's saying he's free. He doesn't have to. You guys are saved. You don't have to. But he wants to be a servant to all men. And to the Jews, I became a Jew, that I might win some Jews. What he's saying? When I'm with the Jews, I am conscious of how they think and what they do. And I'm not going to be offensive to them because I want to win them. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. I'm not going to intentionally be offensive to people that were living in a legalistic way. It's kind of like when you get it with a group of people that are very legalistic and very strict on things that they don't even understand grace. You know, it doesn't do you any good to hit them straight in the mouth with grace the minute you talk to them. Get to know them, get to understand. Those who are without the law as without the law, and then not being without the law toward God. What does that mean? I've heard people say, we used to know a guy that said, you know what? I'm a far greater witness if I'm sitting there smoking dope with my friends and they're comfortable. And I'm like, wait a minute, you really missed the boat. Ted knows this guy. Crazy. Crazy thinking. Hey, being all things to all people means that within the person you are in Jesus Christ. If I'm going to go sit with a group of guys that are a bunch of old coal miners in West Virginia, I'm not going to go in a three-piece suit and start throwing 30-letter words out at them. You understand what I mean? I'm going to talk to them and understand them where they are. If I'm going to talk to a bunch of guys that have been hanging in the bars forever, I'm going to talk to them on a way, on a level that we can understand and talk, but I'm not going to say, hey, you know, I got to be just like you. We got to do it within the confines of what God has called us to do. And then it says, I did go longer than I thought. It says, to those who are without the law being law toward God, but under the law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. I want to tell you something. No one is going to come to Jesus if you don't look different than they do. Don't they come for a change? Why would I want to be the world? They're not going to come to Christ if I'm the world. There has to be that difference that they see and that love that they see. To the weak, I became as weak that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Guys, learn to be within the confines of what Christ has called you to be. Learn to be somewhat of a chameleon in the world. Understand that. Not everyone's got to be just like you. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. See what he's saying is all things for the gospel's sake. When we do our Christmas thing every year, we help all these kids do these things. People come in and help. People don't even know that they contribute. And God's in it, and the evangelism part goes out of it. And all these ministries, back when the first year we were giving totes, we didn't do it in a haughty way. Like, here, now you're going to preach this year. No. We did it in a way
You'll open your hymnals this morning to page 88.